listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Listen to these words taken from Psalm 19, put to verse and music. The heavens declare thy glory, the firmament thy power. Day unto day the story repeats from hour to hour. Night unto night replying, proclaims in every land, O Lord, with voice undying, the wonders of thy hand. Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, reading through the 17th verse. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees, upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasure to the spoil, and all thy high places for sin throughout thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage, that I will give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like an heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches and not by right, and shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be as a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning of the place of our sanctuary, O Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hasted from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, but thou art my hope in the day of evil. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for all of the Holy Scripture. We give thanks especially for the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he rose again according to the Scripture. We give thanks that we have in that word both the law and the gospel. And Father, we know that Israel was dealt with many times according to the law. We know also those that knew their failings under the law could look to what the sacrifices pointed to, what the blood shed meant, and that one day thou didst send him who is called thy Lamb, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Father, it is in his name that we pray today, that the Holy Spirit might be given to us, that we understand both the past and the present, that we understand these things as they took place, as they are examples for us, a witness to us, to learn of thee, to learn of ourselves through these people. And Father, we also give thanks that there is that, even written by Jeremiah, for the future, the blessings promised both for them and hopefully also for us. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings first, that we might be made even today to seek thy kingdom and thy righteousness, that we might be made today to pray for both ourselves and others, that thy Spirit might come to teach us, to revive the church, to awaken and save the world. We pray, Father, also for the other needs. We give thanks for meeting needs. We give thanks for blessings given, bounties given to us in this land. We pray for those in other lands where there is starvation, war, homelessness, sorrow. We pray for our homes and the needs in them, many of them troubled and broken, sad, sorrowful. We pray for those in older age. We pray for the sick, the injured. We pray for all of this, and thou wilt look on them and us through Christ, and with them we give thanks. Amen. Continuing of this prophecy of Jeremiah, both the prophecy and description, the chapter begins with a description of Judah in that present time, about 600 years before Christ. As we said last week, a few years into the time that Nebuchadnezzar's army came, and already some were killed, others were carried away captive. Some of the vessels out of the temple also were carried away. Some of the earlier kings were now captive in Babylon, along with Daniel and his three friends. The rest of the land still did not believe. They did not listen to the word of Jeremiah. And that would continue for another about 12 years, that till the final end of the full destruction would come. And God is speaking of that here. He is speaking of the reason why he would send judgment. The first verse states, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven on their hearts and upon the horns of your altars. So steeped were they in their sin. Sin written on their hearts. The same heart that Jeremiah describes, and we'll look at a little bit later in more detail, written in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? These were the people who were saying that they believed in God. They believed that God's word was supposedly true, as they understood it, would not leave the prophet and the priest as they spoke of it. Jeremiah, they thought, had a false word when God spoke directly to him. And so their sin, their present sin, out of their deceitful heart, deceitful in that they continued in sin, deceitful in stating that they worshipped and believed the Lord, that they knew His way, and all would be well, and they would cry, peace, peace, one to another. The prophet to the people, the priest to the people, and the people together loved to have it so. But God saw it as their sin written on their heart like the point of a diamond, scratched in there indelibly. Something that would move into something, cutting it, leaving its sharp mark, not to be removed. And so was their sin. Only one way would stop most of these people. Death. 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 Most of them would have death. The wages of sin is death. Death will stop our sinning. I don't know how we are to look at it, of those who die in their sin and go to hell, whether they will continue to sin, or whether they will be in submission there. God does say that every knee will bow to Christ, as God has given Him the name which is above every name, that in His name every knee shall bow. That will take place on the day of judgment if it does not take place before. So these people here had their sin like a pin of iron, scratching into a surface, the point of a diamond, graven upon the table of their heart. Oh, how differently than when God, in His mercy, changes the heart, takes out the heart of stone that can have the coldness, the deadness of sin in it, and still be deceitful. How different than the psalmist, who said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. There was that remnant. As I said, most of these people would die. But as we'll see a little further, the sixth verse talks about those people being into a land that they did not know. Into another land they would be carried. That would be the remnant. They are spoken of in different places. As I said, some of them already were carried away. In the 24th chapter, God describes them to Jeremiah as the good figs, and the rest who would stay in the land and die would be the bad figs. Bad, so bad that they could not be eaten. Rotten. And I repeat, death was the answer. Death, the wages they had earned, was given by God. Yes, He could give every one of us those wages, and it would be fair and just. God has not dealt with me in justice, or I wouldn't be here. It's been mercy and the withholding of His judgment. It's been grace to teach me of my sin, and that I also have borne with a deceitful heart, desperately wicked, above all things. Yes, above all things. Man, the crown of God's creation, man, created in God's image, is worse than the animals. Isaiah stated, the ox knoweth his master's crib, but my people doth not know. And that's how these people were here, these 100-some years later. Isaiah had prophesied that. It's written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And we can see it continuing here, continuing in a terrible way. So terrible, written with a pen of iron. In the second verse, while their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. We might say, well, we don't do that. We don't have altars. We don't have groves and out under the trees in our homes, in our upon our lots? No, maybe we don't. But I think we have something equally evil in the sight of God. Paul writes of those in the latter days being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that would also include loving each other. If we don't love God, we don't love each other. Lovers of pleasures. I think you've probably heard with me in this land, this nation, sports is king. Sports gets the crowds, overflowing crowds many times. Not the church is overflowing, especially not in the evening, not in the week time when there's prayer meeting, but there can be overflowing crowds at the sports, no matter what they are. Different kind of sports, different games. And then think of the excitement there. The yelling, the clapping, the stamping of the feet. Yes, along with it, the booing when the other team does something well. They don't love their neighbors themselves. Booing the umpire when he might even make a fair call, but in favor of the other team. Terrible, terrible, so-called Christian people. They would say, I'm a Christian, don't you tell me I'm not. And act like the devil. Act like Christ said of those before him, the works of your Father you do. What is the booing? The hatred, the pride, the selfishness, self-serving. And in it all, the bottom line. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Children, remember their altars, their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and all thy high places for sin throughout their borders. Yes. Man may be left alone for a time. May have God's mercy, as Jeremiah could say, thy mercies are new every morning. They continue to be new to him, even after God's judgment fell, and the land and the cities were destroyed. The great houses were burnt down, the temple as well. The walls of Jerusalem broken down. But God, up to that time, for many years, 40 years, Jeremiah prophesied. Here at this time, he had prophesied already for about 28 years. The people did not give heed. They hated him as much as his beginning. He stated, as we read in one of the last verses that we read, verse 16, as for me, I have not hasted from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Yes, in the main, Jeremiah had spoken that which God commanded. Sometimes he hesitated, sometimes he fell back, and as we saw some time ago, and we mentioned again last week, and it bears mentioning again, in chapter 15, where God said to him, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. If thou take forth the precious from the vial, that thou wilt be my mouth, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Oh, how easy it is to compromise. How easy it is to be still. How easy it is to say something once and be rebuked for it and not want to say it again. Or not want to say it to others. They might not like it. They might be offended. What's the bottom of that? What will they think of me? What does God think of me if we don't dare to say God's word? What will those people think of us on the day of judgment when they do realize fully, finally, that we knew better but didn't dare to say it? Didn't dare to actually tell them that sin was sin, that lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God is sin. Sin. Try to get such a crowd on a Wednesday night to a prayer meeting, to pray without ceasing. The only time I've ever been on an all-night prayer meeting was in India. They prayed there all night. I've never seen it yet in this country. Never. Sadly, I have to say I didn't do it myself. Should have. Pray without ceasing. If we go on in that way, then it will finally be, as God said to Jeremiah, pray not for this people. If you're going to stay in coldness, deadness, finally, the Spirit of God is so grieved that He withdraws. And we need His Spirit to pray. We need the Spirit of prayer as well as the command to pray and the promise in prayer that if we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Father will hear us. We certainly need to pray first, not just for certain objectives, but to be taught to pray, to be taught to pray according to God's will, taught to use the name of the Lord Jesus in a way that honors Him and honors the Father, not just to get our way, not to say, well, the Lord Jesus said, if you ask in My name, the Father will do it. Claim it quickly, without honest and full thought of what that means. We can use the name which is above every name, take it on our lips, and go to God the Father and ask Him to give, to do certain things, and He will do it. This needs to be done thankfully, but also carefully. Am I doing it to the glory of God? But we're getting away from our thought here. But pray, 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 pray. These people didn't. And God said to Jeremiah, pray not for them. Just keep on describing their sin, describing what's going to happen to them. And it was terrible. The third verse, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders, the whole land of Judah. That had been so blessed, so favored of God, given promise to Abraham, to thee and to thy seed will I give this land. That was an unconditional promise. It's still there today. But whether they could be blessed in that land or not was conditional. They had many blessings and they had many curses. Here they were about to be cursed. Cursed because they did not continue in all things written in the book of the law to do them. They were given God's holy law when they enter this land. And Jeremiah will be told by God, and he'll write it down in the 31st chapter, which law they break. And here's a description of it. One of the first commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And that's what they were doing. We just read it, verse 2. While their children remembered their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. When there would be a reviving and a reformation, a returning to the Lord, these things would be taken away. Sometimes there was a shallower return to the Lord, and not all of them would be taken away. They would sometimes still continue. But here they're described plainly. And then goes on to define it more fully. Again, the fourth verse, thou, even thou thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever. Forever. This would be the most blessed part of the people. Those that would die in their sin, not being taught, not coming to repentance, not heeding the word that God gave to Jeremiah, simply would die, die, die. And we've often mentioned it, die by the sword, die by the famine, die by the pestilence, die by the noisome beast. Those four different ways. But then there would be a remnant, as they're spoken of here, They would discontinue in the land. Some people would say discontinue means that it would be for a time, and that was true. Because Jeremiah would also write the captivity would be for 70 years. But for 70 years, they would be out of the land until Nehemiah, or Ezra, Nehemiah later, would come again with the people, Zerubbabel, others, to rebuild. But there would be the 70 years of desolation. They would be in an other land, carried away, taken out of their homes, made to walk all that distance from the land of Israel, the land of Judah, all the way to Babylon. Just think of what a distance that was. Not on a train, not on an airplane, but they would be carried along through the fields, across the rivers, captives to a land they knew not, as we can read here. You shall be discontinued from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger. Yes, they made God angry. Oh, how often people speak of, well, God is love. He is. He loves in pity. He loves in long-suffering. But only when he loves in Christ will it be everlasting. Will it be eternal. I don't know how we are to think of it in all of our years of disobedience. We can probably say all through that time, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For 28 years, I saw no need of that, did not understand it rightly. I knew it historically. I knew it in formalism. I knew it in pride, but not in repentance, not in humility, not in a true faith. Yes, just form. And that's where these people were too. God could have left me like this. I could have quietly died and others would have thought all was well. The form was there. But it was all in a deceitful heart. The heart that out of it comes, and the Lord willing, we'll see that next week. Seven things mentioned in one of the Gospels, I believe 13 or another, all coming out of that evil, wicked heart that you and I have. And we need to be born again to have the heart opened, renewed, regenerated, all by God through Christ for his glory and our blessing. Oh, believe it. Be humbled and believe in God. Please pray with us for revival in the church and awakening throughout the world. Thank you.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.